Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around a spooky dude. Things have become tremendously complicated for the coterie in just a few scant minutes. The alleyway meeting was attacked by armed men, and Ridley tore them apart with his bare hands. The vampire hunter Jocelyn St. James was shot, and Ridley decided to turn her into another kindred against her wishes rather than watch her die. And Iris invited her brother over, and he dosed her with drac. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
Iris, you get a face full of drac, and just as it hits your eyes, in shock, you feel a bunch of it go into your mouth. Some goes into your nose. You can see that Iggy looks, he's trying to look defiant, but he also clearly looks kind of horrified and vaguely apologetic. And as the armed men with him push past into the apartment, you think you hear him say, "We're square now, right?" And you find yourself just fucking like manhandled by four big kind of tactically dressed unfriendly looking folks. You hear a snarl of rage from the door behind you as Emily has clearly come and seen what's going on. But let's talk about you for a second. You get hit with this, and for a moment, your vision goes red. You can feel a pulse that you do not have. It's as your body begins to absorb the toxins from the drug, you feel almost a familiar energy to it. Can you please roll me a resolve and resolve, and let's go with insight, please, or awareness. There's an occult score on these things. None of us have a cult. What is this fucking mythos? Get out of here.
Yeah, that's five successes with two of them critical successes.
Hunger dice?
No. No, honey. He's
well
ate.
Fed.
I
oh,
ate.
Yeah, you are
I
well
am
fed.
Very
yes,
well
yes,
fed.
Yes, yeah. You're someone coming home from a buffet. You're in good shape. Okay, great. So, Iris, you have a horrible moment of... I don't think you've really been in on the Drac conversations per se, but anything thrown in your face that immediately makes your senses go, well, fucking wonky is not great.
You did hear about it at the police station party when DJ
That's
Miller
right.
was talking about
That's
it.
Right.
And
That's right.
Your brother, I think, was even talking about it, or cops were talking about it.
Yeah.
About your brother holding some.
That's right. Okay, so I think it would be safe to say that you have enough knowledge of this to kind of know that whatever it is, it's bad news. But as you're kind of like pulled to the ground by these big fucking SWAT guys, you have a moment of disorientation, and then suddenly things begin to become very, very clear. Like all of your sentences are incredibly heightened. You get a bit of that heat vision that movies like Predator have, where you're just seeing, like, you can see like Iggy's pulse outside, you can see Emily's pulse behind you, you can feel these guys don't have pulse, you've got almost crystal clarity, and you actually feel a very similar sensation to what you felt under the club when Metathiax, when you drank Metathiax, the demon, and you realize that whatever this is, because of that experience, you for some reason have a modicum of control over it, which is good, because as these guys are holding you down, you can feel your fingers elongating in sort of spasms, you feel the edges of the bone beneath your fingertips begin to pierce out of the flesh, the tips of your fingers, becoming sort of elongated claws.
So I'm Wolverine?
No, more like Lady Deathstrike. So it's coming out of your fingers, not out of your joints. As your fingers continue to elongate, you feel your jaw click, and you can almost feel it starting to elongate to basically give you more bite and range. You feel a strength flowing through you, the likes of which you've never felt. For the first and perhaps only time in Blood and Syrup history, Iris Dunn, you temporarily get four dots of strength.
Yes. Finally.
And two dots of brawl.
What is their game plan here to make you super strong and then try to fight you?
It's almost like they didn't know someone was accidentally inoculated by something earlier, and they done fucked up real so bad.
Four on top of the one I already have for strength?
A maximum of four.
Maximum of four. Okay, so okay. I'm temporarily at four. And what was the other one, sorry?
Two to brawl. All right, folks, it's time for the Iris Dunn, Emily, last name uncertain, murder parade. Let's do it. Miles, you're being held down by four vampires in tactical gear. You can see Iggy's pulse sprinting away down the hall. You hear Emily in the voice you heard her threaten the meatbags earlier, just being like, "None of you were bust in." What do you do?
I'm going to wrap my wrists, because I assume the two of them are probably holding my arms down.
Yep.
I'm going to wrap my hands around the wrists of whatever is holding me down by the arms, and I'm going to rip their arms off.
Okay, go ahead and roll for that, please. That'll be, as Ryan can tell you, a strength plus brawl. I'll roll an opposed check for their joints.
Four faceless, nameless vampires just there to get killed. And Everett is nowhere to be seen.
Like, oh, man. Everett's busy turning someone into a vampire in an alleyway, trying to prevent himself from vomiting human blood.
Yeah. Also, how many hunger dice do you have right now, Tyler?
I've got three.
Oh, man. And there's four of them. You could have like three and a snack later.
A sip from each one. Yeah.
Four successes with one of them critical success.
Damn. All right. So, you rip off two arms. You immediately hear a lot of my favorite kind of SWAT guy mask talk from specifically the Resident Evil games of like, or Stormtroopers when a Jedi shows up, just kind of be like, "Wait, what the fuck?" As the two who are kind of like, who've got your legs kind of start to ease back, one of them's like, "I thought they said she was Toreador. What the fuck is this? What's with this gangrel bullshit?" At which point, Emily leaps. Now, as you'll recall, Emily is inflicted with whatever the fuck werewolfism is in this system.
Lycanthropy?
Yeah, lycanthropy. That's what it is in every system. Colon. The Apocalypse, which is the full name of their system. But yes, she werewolf the apocalypse is out. She unfortunately, there is not a full moon, so she can't go full wolf. But she also might not be fully werewolf. So she leaps through the air with her one arm and just kind of like lands, like just plows one of the guys just lost his arm into the ground. And she's like, "Look, we have something in common." And then she just starts like pounding the back of his chest against the ground with her one arm. Iris, you can feel your muscles spasming. You think you hear your back crack, and you kind of lurch forward as your physical proportions seem to shift. This is all very unpleasant, and
I'm
you
never
sincerely
gonna fit into that dress now.
Who knows? Tomorrow's a whole day away. Kind of lurching forward, you have one armless man who's not being pounded to death on the ground. The two who were grabbing your legs are falling back, they both pull out silvered tactical blades, sort of one in each hand, but they are clearly backing the fuck off. Like, this is not how this was supposed to go down, but they're making their way towards the door. Do you pursue them, or do you deal with the armless man to your right?
No, I go after them.
Okay, so we're going to get into some weird combat rolls, so let's do that, shall we? Miles, go ahead with strength and brawl, please, and I will go the same with my dudes.
Uh, 3 successes.
Okay. I only got one. You drive...
I also just want to mention that it's kind of funny because it's a 666, the 3 successes. Does that count for anything?
I mean, it's highly appropriate dramatically for what's occurring right now, and given what's happening to your body, very appropriate. So you lunge forward. What's your attack look like? Also, given that Iris isn't a fighty person, I've given you brawl largely because when your hands become talons, everything's kind of a brawl. I'm curious what you think Iris attacking someone looks like.
I do want to say it took me a minute on the 666, but I think we call it an unholy moly.
Yay!
You just broke Tyler.
God. Unholy moly! Oh, man. I was wondering what my Vampire the Masquerade shirt was going to be.
3 dice that say 666 with unholy moly on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very good, Ryan. Well done. 10 points to Gryffindor. I'm going to give you advantage in a different game because I can't hear. All right. So, Miles, yeah, what is Iris attacking one of these sort of vampire SWAT guys look like?
I unfortunately think it's like Twilight vampires where they're like, it's super swift, super fast, but dangerous. Like, she's just... It's like surgical strikes, and it's almost like she's moving as a blur.
Cool. Yeah, I think that makes sense. But with the way we've described this and also with what your instinct would be doing, given that you're basically turning into Slender Man.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's just a full-on, like, whereas Ridley's the Sabretooth run, this is just, like, a multitude of fast claw slashes.
Not to reference a bad movie, but the Lady Wolverine... In 2?
Lady Deathstrike.
Oh, Lady Deathstrike. That's who I was
describing
earlier.
Oh, it is Lady
Deathstrike. Yep. Sorry, X2 is amazing. What are we talking about? Didn't know
her name. They're not like, look out, it's Lady Deathstrike.
No one says her name.
Yeah.
She's just like, look, she's like you.
Yeah, but with fingies. Use your razor fingies and you slash that fucker up. The other one is going to leap at you with his blades. Miles, can you please roll me a... dexterity and let's go with survival.
You don't want me to win this one, eh?
I gave you fucking claws.
Yeah, unfortunately, turning into a spooky bite slash monster doesn't make you tougher, I guess.
Well, I still got on my 2 dice. I still got 2 successes and 1 critical.
Wow, nice.
Fuck. All right. I rolled a 1, a 6, and a 1, so I'm going to say your success, your crit trumps the 1. He goes to drive the blades in, and then suddenly his friend from the ground slams into him as Emily, one hand, shot puts the guy into him. That dude reacts very quickly, grabs his friend with the compacted chest, and books it. As you continue to hack and slash. Given your current state, do you think you would have the presence of mind to stop slashing this vamp and leave him for Tyler? Or are you just like, fuck all this noise, this guy's got to go?
Well, how many do I have? Like, I have the armless one. Is he
so
gone?
There's one armless one who Emily didn't attack, who is... dealing with he's like about to rush because they're vampires, so like this fucking sucks, but it's mitigatable. There's the guy you're slashing to ribbons who I would argue is incapacitated but not dead because it takes a lot to drop a vamp, and 2 kindred just ran out the door. So the one that Emily was like cracking the chest on, she threw that at the guy who just attacked you, so the 2 of them are gone running down the hall.
Yeah, I feel though like
don't stop on my account. I was just joking. Like, isn't it funny?
I agree, though. But I actually think given that Iris is now aware of this, it might actually be something that occurs to her. But
yeah,
she's also in a frenzy. So
I definitely think I want to keep one. But I think if I can keep the armless one to talk,
that makes sense.
I would probably just tear this motherfucker with the blade to shreds.
Gotcha. All right. So you just keep working. And it's
I would like to tear his throat out if possible.
Yep. With your elongated jaw or with your stabby fingies?
I would like to tear out his voice box with my mm-hmm. fingies, and then if with my elongated jaw, if I could just like sever the head, that'd be nice.
Okay, so you tear out the jaw or tear out the throat, giving you some like room to move.
Yeah,
and then just clamp on either side of the head and twist.
Just go, yeah.
Great. So you crank the head off and spit it out like a fucking sunflower shell.
Yeah.
You turn back to Emily, who is currently ripping the other arm off the guy on the ground. It would seem that you've regained control of the situation. The other two guys are long gone. You've killed one who is slowly kind of falling apart into muck and mud behind you, as vamps are like to do, as the body quickly ages. But you do still have one alive who is just muttering like, oh, fuck, 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 ah, fuck.
And I can talk in my state?
Yeah, but give yourself a spooky voice.
Emily!
Yes?
Put him in the snack room.
Oh, good. More. I like that we have fun voices now. So she just grabs him by the head and, like, drags him. It's like a classic, like, Resident Evil monster drag behind the door. She just boots it shut. And in your head, Miles, you hear a faint voice just say, "You again."
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favorite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Hello, Gov. It's your boy Ridley, and I'm here to talk to you about maybe a way you should be contributing to this little organisation. Everyone knows, as you look around, there's a lot of bear boys. And, you know, to be a bear boy, you got to be a bear, and you got to be, well, not exactly a boy, but you got... The important thing is, you got to pay your fucking dues, is what you got to do. And right now, I just know from looking at the numbers, there are a lot more fucking people out there than there are inside my fucking gang. And what I'm saying is, if you want to join up and get access to me and all the cool fucking toys and other fucking treats I've got for all you little bear boys and girls and theys and thems and fucking alls out there, go to patreon.com/dumdumdice. DUMBDICE. You do that, you're on the inside. Come talk to me on a Patreon exclusive Discord. Why don't you throw some names into the show? Why don't you build an NPC to join my fucking gang? I'm just saying, if you sign up, you won't regret it. And if you don't sign up, maybe you fucking will.
Hey everybody, Tom McGee here, your friendly neighborhood DM, and I just wanted to thank you so much for listening to our shows. I hope you're having a great time. Obviously we are. I'm probably really stressed because they're probably doing something horrible to me right now, but I hope you're enjoying it, and we're enjoying you being here. And listen, if you want to get a little bit more involved in our show and with the various things we do, you can check out
patreon.com/dumdumdice.
Where you can find more information about how you can become a part of the show, how you can screw with me on air, how you can add names and all that sort of stuff. And it's a great way to support us in our ongoing dumb adventures. So thanks very much for joining us, and I will see you out there in the Dumbverse.
Meanwhile, Everett, you are...
I also love that that's not the end of the episode.
Nah, man. Shit got real on our night off. Where are you taking Jocelyn? You're in the Dinkeldorf cab. Did you just dump her in the trunk? Or
yeah,
like, where...
Ridley would have forced her to go into the trunk because she will go bestial with hunger.
I will also say she's like full on out of it now. She was lung shot, so like this is a lot. So it's not like she's doing the classic, like, I'm still awake though.
it's not that bit where they turn around and Hutch is like, wait. And they're like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it's I think not, I'm about, no, wait, I'm still here.
Yeah, it's not Will Ferrell in Austin Powers.
So Everett. What the fuck are we going to do with Jocelyn St. James, now a vampire? I don't want to label too much on you, but you made that choice real quick, which is not usual for you. What's your plan there, Gov?
I don't know right now, Ridley. I'm going to need to think on it for a minute. Who were those men, those people that attacked us?
Did you? I don't know. They tasted Russian. I can't explain why. It might not be true, but it's what my heart says.
Did they look like Inquisition?
They're wearing civilian clothes, but I think if you were to venture a guess based on only ambush, because I mean, like, Jocelyn was very careful. A, like she was smart enough to kind of know that there was a tail, but B, the fact that they didn't attack her, they waited till you were there, would suggest Inquisition.
Okay. So I think as Everett's sort of more typical faculties return to him, you know, he's starting to kind of like break it down, maybe talking it through with Ridley, just saying like
those men probably were Inquisition. They attacked in a group and they were tailing Jocelyn, didn't attack until we were on the scene, us vampires. Makes sense that they'd be Inquisition.
I mean, I'd assume so. They were less armored than you'd fucking think, though, because the other ones we faced have been like SWAT people. But we have a shooter, and we didn't fucking find a shooter. None of my boys had guns. If they had, they probably would have shot off like three times into the sky while screaming, but they didn't. So
right.
This is fucking layers on layers, mate.
They did have guns.
Oh, well, why not?
Shot with a shotgun, yeah.
Yeah, I will say, Ryan, in your, like, murder spree...
I got too close. Okay, well, then I'll just take it back instantly. Well, I mean, they all had fucking guns. I didn't check the fucking ammo, and not worth our time, because we had to move.
But yeah, no. I would say, Inquisition, we don't have anyone else with fucking human militia that would attack us at night. The fucking orphans just drive by and, I don't know, yell shit. Like, we die really easy. Sorry about that other fucking time, I assume. Cowards.
Jocelyn is our best lead on this Drac situation. And, I mean, that's turning normal folk into, what'd she say, thin blood vampires?
Yeah, it's doing that fucking shit for sure.
I mean, whether we're vampire or not, that's just against the masquerade, right? Just turning folk willy-nilly in the middle of a club.
Oh, yeah, no, fuck
it. Chaos break out.
This
so
isn't
we
got
to put a stop to that.
Yeah, this isn't like ecstasy, one of those fun drugs. They're like, you know, shrooms, where you're like, I'm going to help you with your PTSD, even though the government says no. No, this is like people who sell fucking heroin at a school ground. You fucking bury them in the ground and you piss on the grave.
Yeah, so we're going to need her help with that. I think for now we wait for the process to run its course, and then we try and talk with her.
Okay, this is kind
I don't
of
know
a dark...
what I was thinking. She,
I hate to do this bit of a reveal to you because you were really caught up in your moment, but she sort of was like, don't let him turn me into a vampire and then try to kill you, and I stopped her, so now she's a vampire. So we might need to, like, chain her up, and then at some point, if we don't want her to just stay in a frenzy, we've got to, like, feed her. And then, I mean, we've got options. She's, first of all, I'd like to be clear, because you get really caught up in these moral situations, and I don't think you're in one, because she's a piece of shit. She fucking murdered police officers to save you because you stole a fucking baby. She didn't know who the fuck they were. They weren't in this fucking game. I mean, they were in a criminal game, but not in the, like, I'm here because of the Inquisition. Look at my fucking hat. Bam, bam. Your kids are now going to grow up with fucking no one. Like, she sucks. So we can do what we need to do.
Maybe we get what information we can and then I'll just, you know, take care of her. I'll finish what those Inquisition boys started.
So this is just kind of hitting a pause on the whole thing.
I guess. I don't know what I was thinking, turning her. I don't want to turn everyone that I run into. I don't know.
So you don't want this. What if she doesn't want to go once she turns out to be all spooky vampire eternal lifey?
Well, let's just get back to the bar. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
All right. So I'll call ahead to get them to bring a buffet. Here's the question, though. So I eat pieces of shit, and now Chunky eats narcissists.
Don't eat animals, though, and Harvey eats animals.
No, that one's fucked up. But you know what? Harvey's a special boy. Very airy. Very weird. Are you hungry? You haven't fucking eaten in a while. We can get you your thing, and maybe we could make sure whatever you like is in a buffet in case Jocelyn St. I don't fucking like vampires over here needs something to eat.
We'll find out. We got another night to figure this out.
We're at the fucking Elysium tomorrow, and I guess the bear boys could watch it chained in a basement, but that doesn't seem quite as moral as I would expect.
I will point out although he would also likely go, Diederik is now kind of on the team, so Diederik could also potentially, or Dedrick rather, could also do this, but he seems like he's been to Elysiums before, so you might actually want to bring him with you.
Yeah, I will also say, up until now, we've sort of had random street thugs that we can tie up. This one seems like she's probably able to pick a fucking lock and get out of a fucking chain and then kill TJ. And I'm not fucking cool with that. So I don't know. We could take her to Iris's and see what they fucking got going on there. Maybe Emily's got an idea. It's a fucking building. I just don't want to give her access to the whole fucking operation.
You bought us coffins, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you didn't want one, right? You want to keep sleeping in the office.
Right. I can't remember if you got me one anyway or not.
I probably did. You know what? They'll bring back as many as I do. We could put her in a coffin temporarily. That's fine.
And that way, you know, you're not picking a lock that you're on the inside of.
And we've got Chunky to kind of watch it. Okay, so I'll call ahead and get the buffet set up so that we can feed her. Also, I need to fucking eat because if you haven't noticed, I'm a little bit fucking well done right now. And I'd like to not be so fucking burnt up because of shit-face in a fucking trunk. You know what? She deserved it. Fuck her. He just starts calling ahead to get the boys to bring him a human he can eat.
And everyone will just say, yeah, you know what? Don't bother with her. We'll talk to her hungry. Maybe it'll make her more amenable to talking.
I mean, Everett, I hate to point this out, but do you remember when we saw... you didn't fucking see it. Let me tell you what a beast your frenzy looks like. Iris, a wonderful little person who loves to make friends and is always like, this is too violent. Well, she kind of screamed and then ripped through the center of someone's torso, yelling incoherently, and then ate the fucking art, and then was kind of still ready to go. And only then, when she was sated, did she calm back down to be like, oh, that may not have been the best choice. So if we leave her hungry, we may just have someone going, ah, and then breaking their own arms, ripping out of whatever they're in, and then eating people that don't deserve it.
This is sounding like more and more trouble than it's worth.
Well, no, because you made a great point. You got to remember where you started, because you get lost partway through. We need information about the Drek. She's got information about the Drek. That's all good. Otherwise, this happens to hundreds of other people. We had to burn 400 people to fucking death last night because of this shit. And that'll happen again.
We can't just be bringing people in off the street, though, guessing what she might be hungry for. I mean, what if she eats kids?
Well, we're not going to bring a fucking kid because then I'll kill her. It's one of my convictions.
Keep saying this conviction stuff.
It was a really big thing in my fucking neighborhood, all right? Everybody had a touchstone and everybody had convictions.
Look, leave it with me, all right? I'll deal with it myself. Your boys went to a daytime construction site and brought a cop back for someone to eat. People don't stop looking for cops after one night, all right? That's going to be on us for a long time. Listen to me out here. Give the boys a break. There's some heat there, you know?
First of all, we already took care of two other boys, but it's really weird to be like, they were more disorganized than me. We got somebody in a fucking trunk, and your answer is, I won't feed her. which doesn't feel terribly moral. You had such a strong emotional connection previously. Where did it go?
I'm just saying I will deal with it, Ridley. I'm not saying I won't feed her. I'm saying I'll deal with it.
Okay, so we put her in a coffin and I handle storage and then you get to feed her. It's like a real shit zoo.
Sure, yeah. A real fucking shit zoo.
It's also a name of a dog, but I can't come up with the pun.
And with that,
I just did.
The cab pulls up to TJ Malone's. The driver, who is wearing sound-canceling headphones the whole way, and is clearly like you know, just like humming along to Miley Cyrus's latest bop, just kind of like nods and waves, completely oblivious to this like incredibly charged, bleak conversation. So having committed to the idea of the shit zoo and Ridley having taken Everett at his word that he'll handle it, Everett, you make your way around to the back of the car to handle it, only to find the trunk open, the body gone, and an empty vial of Drac.
Oh, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
This episode of Blood and Syrup features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's logos are by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by High Angle, and all our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, that's J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We've also got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon of Darkness at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Caitlin O, Zekin X, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.